Welcome to the Context Machine. I had to trick Jeff, not telling him that I was starting. This is episode number 593, because that's how he rolls. And I am Brian Chaff, and that's how I roll.
It is how you roll. And I'm Jeff Gamut. Please return your tray tables and seat backs to their full upright position. And then check us out on our newish home, contextmachine.io. And well played on tricking me.
Yes, newish. And also, yes. Yes, I roll too, by the way. That's a little double entendre. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. You can reach out to us on Twitter at contextmachine.
And hey, our show today is sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs, which is awesome.
Awesome. And I'm going to tell you more about them later in the show. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Jeff doesn't quite sound like his self today. Not quite.
And that's true because, as it turns out, Jeff isn't actually here. I'm Brian, and I'm doing both the voices. I've been working on my Jeff voice. What do you think?
That was a fantastic Brian impression right there. But you just got vaccinated.
I did. I keep wanting to call it the bipolar booster. But
that's why?
Because it's by something.
Huh. I can't remember. I see. So it's because of the name.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, it's because of the name. Anyhow. Yeah. So I got that. And just so everyone knows, I am not complaining, even though I'm not firing on all thrusters. I would gladly go in and get a booster every month if it would keep the people that are near and dear to me healthy and safer.
Yeah, same. So the day before, I got both the bipolar COVID vaccine booster and I show up and they're like, you know, you're also eligible for the shingles vaccine and the flu vaccine. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to travel internationally here. So yeah, let's go ahead and vax me up. And then proceeded to spend the night with fever dreams and sore arms. But I had an extra night before we recorded. You just did this yesterday. So you're still a little bit.
Yeah.
The technical term.
You know, yes, I have felt worse, which I believe is more like. but yeah, I'm fine. I'm just clearly not as quick with the wit as usual.
That's fair. We're going to bear with you, and we're going to appreciate you being here.
We're also going to appreciate you being here.
Oh, thanks. But I'm feeling fine.
Oh, well then screw you.
Yeah. There we go. All right. Now we're talking. Okay. So let's see. I watched the latest episode of She-Hulk, didn't enjoy it. And I think that it's probably because I wasn't necessarily the target market.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people.
Not every episode of every show qualifies for I'm the target market.
Exactly. So sure. Exactly. It's not that it was a bad episode. I just was like, I don't know. Part of it was the some of the things kind of hit too close to reality. Kind of made me uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You still have the bad memories about your bridesmaid's dress.
Yes, I do.
Although I thought you looked stunning.
Hell yeah. But we also get introduced to a new sort of, I don't know if he's just a brand new, I hate to call him a superhero. we get introduced to a new character. He's funny.
A new superpowered character.
A superpowered character. There we go. Yeah, that little side chain was definitely fun and entertaining.
Yes, it was.
But I mentioned that because when I told you that before we recorded, you told me that I should be watching the Daredevil series, which for some reason I haven't started yet.
And I'm glad that we discovered you hadn't seen it so that you can start watching now as opposed to going further weeks or months before you get to discover the brilliant series that is Daredevil.
Fair enough. And I appreciate you pointing me to it. I should also add that the Andor series, I think, just started. Star Wars?
Yeah, they dropped three episodes this week.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
I have started watching that, and I'm enjoying it. It's. Have you seen any of it yet?
I haven't seen any. No, I saw the.
You had to stop and think.
I'm getting the family's texting me, man. Like it's like I'm recording. Like okay,
they know who you are?
Just I've got another question for you. So I saw the 9-minute teaser show that Disney Plus put out, and it looked fantastic. Although I really question whoever set up that machina shop. Because it might make for great TV, but it doesn't make a lot of sense for a reality.
Well, keep in mind that that all of the industrial design in Star Wars, every single episode, is straight up an OSHA violation.
which is fine. It's just like, I mean, like who would set up a machinist shop with all those hanging things and that when one goes, the other ones start going too?
I mean, it's and a different galaxy.
Why are all
they
those
think
things,
about things differently?
Being suspended in the first place.
Having seen, actually, I guess I've seen all three of the episodes. Mm. Wow. Anyhow, when you see the episode and you have the context, I mean, you still look at it and think, doesn't anyone believe in workplace safety? But you have a better idea of why this stuff is where it is.
I see. Okay. Well, I can't wait to watch it. It looks fantastic.
I think it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking
forward to it. I'm loving that we're getting to see a part of the Star Wars galaxy that we've been, for the most part, shielded from in live action stuff. And it's the part where you have like normal people, everyday people, just trying to get by in a world or in a galaxy where they're having to deal with this incredibly oppressive, militant government, meaning the Empire. And, you know, and it's just like normal people. There's no one with Jedi superpowers or anything. It's just the people on the street. And the crap that they're dealing with, I think it's a really great fresh perspective on the Star Wars galaxy.
Well, okay, great. Same. I hear you, and I hear all of those things, and I can't wait to see it myself. You got a new Apple Watch, and then I ordered my new iPhone.
Yeah.
Let's start with your Apple Watch.
Okay. So I've had my Apple Watch for a day now. And
so plenty of time to offer a complete and full review. I'm just going to mute you. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Yeah. Matter of fact, if you want to go make lunch and come back in, say, 20, 30 minutes, you can jump in and go, and people will think that you've been here the whole time. No problem. Okay. So, yeah, I went from a Series 4 to a Series 8. And while I assumed that I would feel like I'm getting a watch that really is several generations beyond what I had, I was also concerned that I would get a watch where I really didn't feel like it was that much beyond what I had because, you know, I didn't have it yet.
Oh, I was very confident that you would feel it.
So, yeah, I was surprised at how long the setup still takes. Like, holy crap. There were points where I thought the watch app on my iPhone must have locked up. Because it is just such a slow process, like ridiculously slow. And what I did was the traditional process, unpaired my Apple Watch Series 4. And once that was done, then set up my new Apple Watch and restored from the backup that I had just made when I unpaired. So by the time everything was said and done, I had the same watch essentially, but in a brand new watch.
Okay.
And before I got the watch, I remember you mentioning something to me about how you thought that I would be really taken with the size of the screen, because Series 4 is a 40 millimeter watch
with a big bezel. Series 8 is
41 millimeter
with a small bezel, with
thinner bezel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you know, that isn't what caught my eye. I mean, yes, I look at it and I can say, yeah, that's definitely using more of the usable space. Great. What caught my eye was the resolution. Okay. I didn't expect to look at this and think, wow, that display looks a lot crisper and a lot sharper.
Huh. Okay.
But here we are. I mean, like, I will stop and look at the watch periodically just to look at the quality of the display.
I hear you there. It's interesting to me in that when I went from the previous style display to the higher resolution, thinner bezel display, I kept for months, I would look down at my wrist and think, wow, there's a TV on my wrist. It's just huge. And not huge in a like bad, cumbersome way. Just like, wow, that display is just so big. And you're not thinking that.
No. I mean, yes, I can see it's a bigger display, but it's that resolution that's getting me. I'm having the same reaction to the resolution on this display as I did when we got the Retina display on the iPhone for the first time, and I looked at the phone, and my brain kept telling me this obviously is a fake. this is a mock-up that's been put in here, so it looks better than it really is.
Sure.
That's the feeling I have with the Apple Watch display.
That is funny. So have you, so you like the display, you like the resolution, you like how crisp it is. I'm assuming you like the increased amount of, just the way it's easier to see more information, I think is the best way to put that.
Yeah. Yes.
Which face do you use?
I have a customized version of the utility face.
Utility face. I don't know that I know what the utility face looks like. I'm looking for my phone right now.
It's like watch hands with the date in the middle of the circle, and then you can have complications around the edges.
Okay. Where do you look at all the faces?
This is great. Everyone is visualizing you right now, flipping through watch faces.
Totally. Well, where do you see all the watch faces? I only see the watch faces I have installed. And I'm panicking we're recording.
Yeah. Okay. So you're looking on your watch, right?
I'm looking at, I'm looking on my phone. So I can try to see all of them.
Yeah. So if you're on your phone, you're in the watch app and you go to the watch face thing. There's the whole list of watch faces.
I've got the edit for the ones I've got.
Oh, really? Hold on. We're going to do a little how-to for everyone right here.
Right here, right now. But why? Why am I having trouble with this?
So look at the bottom of the screen on the watch app.
For the tab where it says face gallery?
Yeah.
Okay.
There now, you go.
Now I'm looking for utility. I don't remember a utility one.
It's one of those that's been around, actually, I think, since
other than the OG. Order. Who knew?
Yeah.
I got it. Oh, there's utility. Oh, okay. And funny enough, by the way, I used the infographic one, which is very similar to this.
You know, I tried using the infograph when it first came out, and I set it up, and I have an infograph watch face loaded on my watch, but I never use it. It's like, this is way too much info. This is way too busy.
Yeah, I want the complications. Like, I need to see how much power I've got left. I want quick access to the heart rate monitor. I need the temperature. I check the temperature throughout the day. And I need quick access to my stopwatch because, I use it for timing, espresso shots because I'm precious. I'm a pretty princess. I'm a pretty princess. You know, I need my espresso.
We are not judging, Brian.
Yes, we are.
Your espresso makes you happy, and that's good.
But the interesting thing to me, by the way, is that my favorite watch face is the one that came out for Black History Month, and I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one where the colors where sort
it,
of...
It does like the real-time shading and stuff as the hands move.
Yeah. Unity Lights is what it's called. It yep. is so gorgeous, and I loved the gorgeousness of it. So what the hour and minute hands very slowly chase shading. And then the light leaves a sort of shadow from the hands.
Yeah, it's like the hands on the watch face have LED backlighting.
Yes. Yes, thank you. That's so that is accurate and much better put than what I said. And the thing is, though, that I eventually went back to infographic because I wanted the complications. I wanted the temperature. I wanted the temperature in particular. And you can put complications on the Unity Lights one. It detracts from the beauty of Unity Lights, but it also I agree.
Yeah.
I needed one more complication because I like to have the date on my watch face too. So,
yeah.
Right. So,
oh yeah, that's right. That's a complication. So, yep.
And I also like to have the air quality, and I like to have my health rings, activity rings, even though I don't always fill them out. But that's completely beside the point. So I used Unity Lights by itself for a while, and it's just so gorgeous. Then I added the four complications you could put in the corner. Again, gorgeous, but less gorgeous. And then eventually went back to infographic because I wanted all of them. And I when I say I did this, by the way, I did this for months. So it wasn't like I tried it for, you know, a day or so and then went back. Unity Lights is so gorgeous.
It is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Okay, so how does did you go? I'm assuming you went from aluminum to aluminum case.
I did. I've been consistently getting whatever they're calling the black or the dark color case.
Yeah.
Ever since the original Apple Watch came out.
Okay. And that what you did this time?
And I did that again. If they still had the blue that they had for the Series 7, I would have been very tempted to get that.
Yeah, because it was really good looking. Did they cancel that?
Yeah, that's not on Series 8. Oh. So I thought, all right, well, then black it is.
Okay.
And when I unpaired my Series 4, as soon as I was done with that, I took the watch band off and I put it on the Series 8 and then put the Series 8 on and hadn't even paired it yet. And if you didn't know, you'd think I was still wearing the same watch.
Until you fired it up.
Until
the display.
Right.
All right. So the new one doesn't feel any different to you. Physically, you're you notice the display. Did you also notice that it's faster? That, you know, like changes activities faster.
It feels like the screen redraws. You know, those transitions feel much more fluid now. I mean, they felt pretty good on the Series 4, but yeah, you can see the difference in those transitions on the 8. Yeah,
did it so come with?
It's obvious. It's a faster.
It came with a strap, right?
Yes,
but you didn't use it.
No, I have one of the sport bands. You know, where it's the I don't want to say plastic band, but Apple's plastic band that has all the holes in it. Mm-hmm. I guess it's one of the Nike bands, and I've been using it for a few years and just love it. So I just moved it over to this, and I couldn't even tell you what color band I ordered with the watch because it didn't matter.
Fair enough. And I got, so like I did not get the new watch, as you know. I've still got the Series 7, like a, I don't know, like an animal, I guess.
How are you going to manage when you can't detect car crashes that you're in?
That's fair. Well, wait, doesn't my phone do that too?
Yeah, your phone does that too. Okay.
Except for I don't have my phone yet, but that's another story. So my original point was that I've been using the Milanese Loop that I got for a while. Okay. So I get not necessarily using the new strap that you got. That was my belabored point.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. Yes. Okay. So Brian.
Yeah.
The fact that this watch looks like the watch that I had before, it feels like the watch that I had before, but does more than that watch did, to me, it's like the perfect mix. Because I was already comfortable with the feel and the look of what I had. Mm-hmm. And I still have that.
Yeah.
And now I just have more to go along with it.
Even though the watch is technically bigger.
Right,
you went from a 40 to a 41?
Yeah, but they didn't. Did they change the body size?
I'm not sure.
They just pushed the display out closer to the edges.
Maybe. I don't remember, to be honest.
Well, regardless, this is a very pleasing watch for me. I'm very happy.
I'm glad, man. This. Congratulations. I'm super happy for you. I hope you enjoy it. Still surprised you didn't get the Ultra. You do feel like an Ultra target market, as we've discussed last show, I think.
I am, but keep in mind, I have the 41 millimeter watch. I have always gotten the smaller size Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And when the original Apple Watch came out, and what was it, 38 and 40 at that point, mm-hmm. for display sizes, I put the larger one on my wrist to try it out, and immediately knew I would not be happy with that watch.
Sure.
And so I've gotten the smaller watch every single time. And because of that, I was concerned that that going to a 49 millimeter watch that was just bigger all the way around was not going to work for me as a daily watch. So I went with what I knew was going to work for me. And yet I can see at some point getting an Ultra and having it as my outdoor activity watch, because I think if I was wearing it, like, you know, like for hiking or biking or whatever, where it's just the thing of where just when I'm out doing that activity, I would love it. Even though it's kind of big, but wearing it every single day, no. If I'm going to do that, I might as well tape my iPhone to my wrist.
Makes sense. You know what else makes sense, Jeff?
What, Brian? I would love to know.
LinkedIn Jobs. They're sponsoring this week's episode. I'm going to tell you about them. How about that?
Yes, please. Brian, please tell me about LinkedIn Jobs.
I'm going to do that. So every time we have them as a sponsor, I point out that it is hard to hire right now. It is a job seeker's market at the moment. It's hard to find the right people. It's hard to sometimes find any people to fill the job postings, the job listings that you may have. And that's where LinkedIn Jobs can come in. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates that are available. And LinkedIn Jobs can help you with that. It is a fantastic service for people that are hiring. LinkedIn Jobs will help you find the right people for your team faster and, better yet, for free. So one of the things I like the most about LinkedIn Jobs is their dashboard, right? This is your interface where you can manage all of your job postings. But in addition to that, all of the candidates and your preferred candidates that you have for those job postings. It makes it very, very easy to sort of juggle what for a lot of people can be, a lot of companies can be a very, you know, complex and dynamic process. LinkedIn Jobs can make all of that a lot easier. It's also really easy to create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs. And your first job post is going to be for free. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a second. But they've made it easy to create these posts, and you can add the hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile. So that means anyone that's looking at your profile will quickly see that you are hiring, and that can help spread the word to your network and the multiplicative effect that your network can have on that. It seriously can help you out. They have simple tools. There's like the screening questions. They have screening questions. That makes it easy to focus on the candidates who have just the right skills, right? So that process is sort of being handled for you. And you can find the people that have just the right skills, the right experience. So that way you can prioritize everybody. And again, their system is handling a lot of that for you. It's really, really good. If you want to finish out the year strong, if you want to finish the year out by finding the right team member, LinkedIn Jobs can help with that. It's fantastic.
Awesome.
It is awesome. So here's the thing, because you're listening to this show, LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster, and you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM. You can post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Awesome.
Indeed. Did we mention that Apple has replaced Pepsi as the Super Bowl? Well, I don't think we mentioned this. The halftime Super Bowl show is going to be sponsored. It's going to be the Apple halftime show now instead of the Pepsi halftime. And it's been Pepsi since 2013. So 10 years. They had a 10-year contract. Pepsi decided not to renew it, and Apple said, we'll take it.
And holy crap. So it's no secret that I'm not really into organized spectator sports.
Same.
However, I can appreciate how big of a deal this is for Apple and for fans of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl is the most watched show in the U.S. at least, and maybe the world. But it's the most watched show in the U.S., like beating out everything else, obviously. I'm being redundant, but it's true.
Yeah. Okay. So, I get that this is a really big deal. Do we know how much money is involved in this? Because if it's a big deal, then there's a lot of zeros on a check somewhere.
Yeah, I would imagine this is a multi tens of millions of dollars, maybe even $100 million deal, but I don't know that. Let me see what the New York Times has to say.
While you're looking that up, this tells me that Apple is very serious about making sure that there's an even wider spectrum of potential users that they're reaching.
Yeah, Apple doesn't have, I mean, like, you know, Apple obviously, Apple made the Super Bowl halftime ad a thing with the 1984 commercial. Right?
Oh my God, yes.
That's what started this. I mean, I'm not saying that it wouldn't have eventually have happened one way or another, but people talking about that ad is why making an ad that people talk about became a thing in the first place. Right. So Apple changed the Super Bowl halftime or the Super Bowl ad, I should say, away from simply like you want to buy it just because it's got the most eyeballs to you want to buy it because you hope to get the same kind of you hope that your ad goes viral and that people are talking about it. And that started way back in 1980. I guess that
would have been 1984.
It was 84. And the halftime shows themselves have just become these major. By the way, but Jeff, this is the one where they've got the like the oval shaped ball, and then there's like the lines that are drawn on the great big field, and it's outside. Sometimes sometimes it's under a roof, but usually it's outside. And then the men pat each other on the butt, and then they run up and down the field with that ball.
Oh yeah, rugby. Yeah, I know that one.
No, the other one.
Squash.
Nope, not Aussie rules either.
Oh, then you lost me.
Okay, well, it's called football. It's a thing. So the halftime shows are these major productions. There are people that tune into the halftime shows that don't watch the game. I mean, like it has become a thing to, it's like it's a very social thing to watch the halftime show with people. And apparently the NFL was shopping around, according to the New York Times, I'm quoting, Apple Music specifically will replace Pepsi as a sponsor in a deal that the NFL has been shopping around for about $50 million, said three people familiar with the negotiations. That's a quote from the New York Times.
Okay, that's even more interesting than Apple as the company, but just one of their products is...
just one of their products, right? Now, to be fair, there's an obvious connection between the music events that dominate the halftime show and Apple Music.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, but still, I mean, Apple Music landing that sponsorship or that partnership, I'm assuming this has Spotify a little concerned.
It should. New York Times also noted, by the way, Apple seldom sponsors events that it does not control. It has not lent its brand to a high-profile event since 2016 when it sponsored the Met Gala in a bid to increase acceptance of its Apple Watch within the world of fashion. Like, they're saying that as if it wasn't successful. I mean, like, right. I would have said in its efforts to increase acceptance, not in a bid. That makes it sound like it was a failure.
Yeah. Okay. But Brian, to be fair, I mean, really, who has heard of the Apple Watch? Who still remembers that? I mean, that's fair. Who's even talking about it anymore?
Nobody of consequence, Jeff.
Exactly.
Nobody of consequence. But Apple doesn't do, the New York Times is right. How'd they put it? Apple seldom sponsors events that it does not control. 100%. I'm going to guess, by the way, they're going to have a lot of control over this halftime show.
I'm betting you're right. And I'm betting that Apple will have their Super Bowl playlists in Apple Music ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, for sure.
And they're going to have artist highlight stuff ready to go. Yeah, that it would be crazy to not do something like that. You know, if it hadn't been for people freaking out about Apple giving away free stuff, they could even do something like one of the highlighted artists. Everyone gets the album that has their Super Bowl songs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still bitter about people flipping their tops over Apple saying, hey, we just gave everyone a free album.
But to be fair, it's the way they did it. And then
people get pissed off about it.
It's the way they did it.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either, but I understand people. I understand people. If Microsoft had done the exact same thing, we would have been ripping it apart. If Google had done the exact same thing, we've been ripping it apart. I understand why. And I realized that I was pretty defensive of Apple at the time, in part because I also was pissy about people being pissy about getting something for free. But the fact that they stuck it on everybody's device without asking, that was just not the best way to do it.
No, if it was available in your library, you had to download it, right?
No, it was...
It didn't auto-download.
No, actually, I don't remember one way or the other.
But anyhow, well, and actually, at this point, why would Apple push an album out to people when they want us subscribing to everything?
Yeah, at this point, that's true. So
they will have all the playlists ready to go. And yeah, there's no way Apple won't be doing all kinds of stuff with Apple Music promotions.
Yeah, but in promoting the halftime show too. And the Apple is also trying they're pursuing the NFL Sunday streaming rights, which is currently those streaming rights are currently owned by DirecTV, which is I think still owned by AT&T. I could be wrong about that. There's been a lot of things changing hands lately. So, Apple is clearly looking at streaming sports stuff and sports in general as a ticket to increased, viewership and customers. So, you know, I get that. And this is an interesting deal I saw the news personally right before we started recording, so we didn't have a lot of time to digest anything or look it up. But it's an interesting development.
It is, and while you were sharing all that information, I thought, why not do something completely out of the norm for us and look up something we're talking about? So I looked up who owns DirecTV. Mm-hmm. AT&T spun them off in 2021 as their own separate entity. Oh. So AT&T did own DirecTV up until last year.
I see. Interesting, because they just bought
DirecTV. I think still co-managing DirecTV, but it's its own company now.
All right. So in the meanwhile, we were talking about the 14 Pro on the last show. And after we got finished recording the show last time, I noticed that if I chose courier delivery, that I could have a 14 Pro the same day or the next day. And so I did. I ordered one. Interestingly,
they just brought it right to your door.
They brought it right to my door the next day. They give you a 2-hour window. If you have access to the courier service in your local market, it's fantastic. So I got to choose my 2-hour window. They text mm-hmm. you when the person is close. They remind you that, you know, that someone's come, that you're getting your product today. And it cost $9, and there is no opportunity or need to tip anyone.
Okay. And like someone in an Apple shirt shows up. and hands you an Apple logo bag and says, "Here you go, Mr. Chaffin. Enjoy your purchase."
I don't know if there are Apple employees that are doing it. I don't know if Apple is co-opting like Uber or Lyft or someone, or if it is an Apple employee and this person just dropped it off on my porch without ringing my doorbell, and it sat out there for 7 minutes waiting for people to steal it. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. So otherwise, it's actually a wonder that you had an iPhone waiting for you.
It is.
You open the door.
Because I had a package that was stolen off my porch on Monday, as a matter of fact. The thing is, though, Jeff, they brought me the wrong one, which is a rare mistake for Apple.
No.
Yeah, I ordered a terabyte model. I'm taking this trip to England, leaving in a week. And I'm figuring with being able to choose up to 48 megapixels for my images, if I so choose, I should get the terabyte model. And when I went to do the transfer, it kept telling me I was running out of space. And I was going from a 512 gig to a 1 terabyte model. And I'm like, well, how am I running out of space?
So that shouldn't have been an issue.
And eventually checked the box, and they sent me a 128 gig model by mistake.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you paid for a terabyte model.
I paid for the terabyte model. I did check that and everything. And long story short, unfortunately, my replacement was not handled by courier. And I'm still waiting for it. And I'm not happy about that. It's been a very un-Apple-like process. They're holding my replacement model hostage until they get the wrong model that they sent me back. And having paid for courier service, I've had to make 2 trips to FedEx to get this thing returned to Apple. Also very frustrating. And the fact that they're holding my replacement device hostage is infuriating. Just infuriating because I didn't make a mistake.
That does not feel like an Apple experience. That's horrible.
I did not have the option of taking it to an Apple store.
Okay, so that's this is just bad all the way around.
It was bad all the way around. In a first world problems kind of way.
But still, there's an expectation of customer satisfaction, which is not being met here. And what they should have done is just immediately taken care of the problem and had someone bring you a new phone and take the old one back and apologize and call it good. And then refund your $9.
I want my $9.
But okay, so doing it this way, the worst that you should have had to deal with is a hold on your credit card for the amount of the phone that you're returning, just in case you don't actually return it. And when they get it back, they release the hold on your card.
Which is how they handle trade-ins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So, like, you get credit for your trade-in, but at the same time, you sort of don't get credit for your trade-in until they get it. So, this part has been disappointing, so I'm actually still waiting on it. However,
you ordered a phone last week, and you still don't have your phone.
I ordered a phone last week for delivery the next day, got it, and I still don't have it. Because there are plenty of people who are waiting for other reasons, like the model that they want is backordered.
Right. But the point is, you ordered a phone, you were supposed to have it a week ago, and because of an error on Apple's part, you still don't have the phone that you have already paid for that you're supposed to have a week ago.
Yes, just super frustrating. However, it kind of gets better because the new phone uses an eSIM, which is great. I love eSIMs in a theoretical way. I think that they're a step forward. I think that SIM cards are an abomination, and I'm glad to see those go. I can't wait for them to actually be gone. However, this is the great thing. Because I started my process for transferring the phone, it deactivated the SIM card in my old phone and transferred my phone number to the new phone but I couldn't actually use the new phone because the transfer and setup never completed.
So not only did you not have the phone you wanted, at that point, practically speaking, you did not have a phone at all.
I did not have a phone for phone calls. So eventually, with a lot of time spent with Apple support through text online, because I couldn't do a phone call, I eventually realized that what I needed to do was do the setup again, but transfer everything manually and then not transfer anything, so that I could have a working phone. So that way it would finish the process and then I could actually access the phone. So then I had I was able to make phone calls. It was a complete pain in the butt. So keep that in mind as you're doing your own transfers. Probably check your box, make sure that you got the right unit, the right model, right size model. And
I'd say that's something that never ever happens. But years ago, I bought an iPhone on launch day and was given the wrong capacity as well. And so I went to the store, picked up the phone, and then got home and realized they gave me the wrong phone, had to go back, and they did swap it out at the store. But still, the point is, check the capacity on the phone before you unwrap it, just to make sure you got what you expected.
Now, in my case, I've got an AT&T phone, or at least my service is through AT&T. I was able to get on the horn with AT&T support. I got a great AT&T tech support person, which also shocked me. But he was fantastic.
I've always had good luck with AT&T tech support, but I know some people haven't. But anyhow, great. I'm glad you got good tech support. So continue.
He was able to switch my cell phone number back to the SIM card in my 13 Pro.
Oh, nice.
So I was able to go back to my 13 Pro and have a phone while I try to sort out the 14 Pro issue. Super frustrating. But I do have an observation from doing the setup, from trying to do the setup. FaceTime setup is much faster now. And Apple had said something about they're using either more processing or they're using more points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't FaceTime remember detection.
Which, but yes.
They said something that's very specific about it. And it was probably, I didn't have a stopwatch on it, but I did it multiple times. And it felt like it was about four times faster establishing my face setup.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the kind of thing you're probably never going to think about once you actually do it. But I believe that means that FaceTime itself, when you go to use your phone, will be that much faster, which again, you're going to take for granted almost immediately, but it's cool. And
since you're mostly pedantic,
yes,
I'm going to point out you're actually talking about Face ID and not FaceTime.
Oh my goodness gracious. Wow. I wish I could pretend to edit that out. Face ID.
Well, you can pretend
the whole time
you edited it out.
The whole time I meant Face ID. That's so funny. All right. So one last thing on the iPhone stuff. I have been a BlackBrook case. Do you have that URL? We'll stick it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes.
And I'm sending it to you now. I've been a fan of their products for a while. I think we've talked about them on more than one show. They do leather.
I think so.
Leather cases for iPad and iPhone. I've had several of their cases for several generations of products. I've been doing an antique coffee kind of sort of distressed looking thing. They do wallets and stuff too, but I've had their cases on my iPhones for at least three generations and on my iPads for another two or three generations too. I love their cases. They're not cheap, but they're not super expensive either. And this time around, I normally get, let me actually look at the names to make sure I'm getting this right. I normally get the Barlow. I normally get the Barlow case. The Barlow case from them, and let me shoot you that link too.
Please.
This first link is the Barlow case. It has sort of sharper angles on everything, and I really like it. I've loved it on my 13 Pro. I had the Barlow case on my 13 Pro, but when I went to order a case for the 14 Pro, they also, by the way, were ready to go on launch day. So I'm wondering if Apple, which is not normally the case, I'm wondering if Apple is being a little bit nicer to the case companies. I don't know one way or the other. The Barlow case that I wanted in the finish that I wanted, the antique coffee finish that they do, was sold out. But they also had the Mason case. And the Mason case, it's essentially the same case, but instead of having their sharper corners, everything is a lot more rounded. Everything I don't even know how to describe it. It's
More like it has beveled edges instead of sharp edges.
Yeah, yes, yes. I put it on the wrong size 14 Pro that I got. I did have it on there for a little bit. I like this case too. I like those sharper edges, but the Mason case is also gorgeous. I like this company. I like their products. I like the quality. There are a lot of great case makers out there for sure. There's a lot of great leather case makers. If leather's not your thing, there's great, protection cases or plastic cases, or aren't you doing a see-through case? Is that you?
Yeah. Right now I'm doing, it's a Spigen case. It cost me like $11. But it paid for itself just the other day. My iPhone took a spill and landed on concrete and is totally fine. Not a mark on the phone anywhere.
Cool. That's good.
Yep. So I've already gotten my $11 out of this case.
Again, cool. Barlow case is great. The Mason case is great. I have now tried and owned both of them. And if someone wants my 13 Pro case, shoot me a note. You can either write us through contextmachine.io. You can reach out to me on Twitter if you want to at GeekTales, but I'd happily get the leather 13 Pro case in someone else's hands rather than having it, sit up in a drawer. They're nice cases.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for saying that, but I would just like love to get it used and not used.
Yeah, I get it. Yep, keep the good stuff out there in circulation.
And these are the kind of leather cases, by the way, that as you damage it, like just by having it in your pocket and having things scraped on it and stuff, it'll just get its own personal patina and. Love marks.
I prefer to think of that as weathering because, thinking of it as damage, it just feels bad. But weathering, okay, now your case has personality.
Right. I'm looking at my 13 Pro case. It's got several scuff marks on the back, and I just think it looks great. I would also add that I felt like I haven't looked at the way, I didn't actually do any research.
Of course.
I think that the 14 Pro is heavier. And it felt like the camera array was heavier.
The 14 Pro is half ounce-ish heavier.
Okay.
So yes, you're right. It does feel heavier because it is.
I am glad that my unresearched feelings were validated.
I'm here for you.
Okay, those are our adventures with new stuff and the TV shows and Apple's little halftime announcement. I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, and even though you're having a crappy experience getting your iPhone 14 Pro, at least I had a great experience getting my Apple Watch Series 8.
That's true. Yay, you.
So, Sometimes it's the little victories.
Yeah, sometimes it's, apparently it's not about me, but it's about you. Huh.
Which is so weird.
So weird. I don't even know what to do with that.
No, I get it. And don't worry, doesn't happen very often.
Oh my goodness. We are so ridiculous.
My wit may be slow today, but well, apparently
it's sharp enough.
I was thinking I was just being a jerk, but okay.
Yeah, no, let's go with my more generous.
Okay.
Outlook.
Yay, my wit.
And I'm just going to cut you off right there. So that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment, add on, or whatever question, write us over at contextmachine.io. You can hit me on Twitter at GeekTales. You can hit the show at Context Machine. Jeff, you're at what? I always forget this.
I'm at Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram.
Gamet, right.
And all of the yeah, you know, and if you're annoyed that Brian decided that it was just time to cut me off, be sure and let him know on social media.
Speaking of being annoyed, LinkedIn Jobs sponsored us this week. We appreciate that.
I'm being annoyed. I'm assuming it's them.
Yeah, but that's what I meant. That's what I meant. They're probably
just clarifying.
It's probably the last time they'll ever sponsor us. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Jeff, thank you so much for being a trooper today when you are still recovering from your vax. I had the vaxes. You had the vax. Well,
and Brian, thank you so much for being accommodating to my schedule today. And by schedule, I mean what's left of the energy in my body.
Yes. My pleasure. My pleasure. And on that note, thanks, everybody. I think I got the last word in.
I'm so happy for you.